meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you all for joining the Root Zone LGR study group call on 8th of April 2019. We have Dennis, Gaurav, Mariana, Ajay, Pitinan, and Sarmat on the call. So over to you, Dennis.
Thank you, Sarmat, and welcome back, everyone. We're reconvening after a long break. Hopefully, we are just in the last mile of doing this. So what we have here now, jumping to the document directly, I was cleaning the document a little bit and also expanding the bullet points based on the conversation we have had in the past. Hopefully you have time to review and put your input. I see Desalyn and a few others as well inputting, so I'm going to review those items. But I'd like to turn to you. Let me see if I can. I mean, let me just scroll down and maybe explain what I did in the past few days. And I see Alireza joining as well. Welcome, Alireza. So from the top, we have the executive summary. Most of you, you already know the history. How's that? How do we get to this point of the Roots on LGR study group? So I'm not gonna read the details. You can do it on your own time. But basically, the history of the LGR, the issues of IDM binding TLDs, no single source to calculate and determine valid labels. No management framework. So studies groups were commissioned or called for. We have an issues report. Then LGR procedure happened, and now we are, the study group was tasked, we were tasked to look at the use of the Roots on LGR and how can GNSO and CCNSO can use it in a consistent manner. Next, we have the principles of the document. So early on, we established a few principles so that we can they can guide us our work. I think now we have pretty consistent with the principles. We're not going against the LGR procedure or against security and stability of the food zone, and also respecting the work of generation and integration panels. The next section, we have definitions, right? Just so that people don't have to refer back to other documents like the LGR procedure or the protocols themselves. We bring some of the useful terms that we use throughout the document so that it's easier for the people to refer back here. Okay?
This is Sarmat, just a short comment.
Yes. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, something not too significant, but it may be useful to move the definitions to the end just so that they don't distract the reader too much. It's a fire.
Okay, that's good. No. It's a minor shift, that's okay. We continue the scope of analysis. This part I still need to expand, but basically what we're, basically we want to convey and it, so that it's clear for the reader that we are looking at the use of a tool, right? And we are not making recommendations as far as policy. We try to just stay at the edge of the use of the Roots on LGR and what policy can do, such as, for example, define what a country code TLD might be, what a brand TLD might be, and so on and so forth. So we don't talk about that other than just, oh, if you are doing this, maybe you want to consider certain items, right? So that's what we want to just explain to the reader. And then also we early on we talk about in our scope items is to define who the users are so that it's clear who is this this document is targeted. I mean the roots on AGR is targeted for the mainly TLD applicants enabled by the supporting organization's policy in each of their own tracks. So that's the users. What do we mean by technical utilization of the roots on AGR? Basically, is the tool that allow us to validate the syntax of a label and also the calculation of the variant labels of such input stream. Okay? And then we dive into the recommendations. And here, this might shift in the future. I mean, we talk about grouping recommendations that are specifically targeted, for example, to the supporting organizations. And we group those in one section, and then we group other recommendations that are geared towards ICANN organization and other group geared towards GPs and the IP. So you, in the future, you will see some shifting around of these recommendations in those three buckets, which I have labeled ABC, okay? And then we go on into the recommendations pretty much. I don't see any comments here, so they have remained the same. Number three. We're talking about how to recommendations or reference to the already existing TLDs, and we recognize there are already delegated TLDs, not as variants, but synchronized TLDs, such as the TLDs of Taiwan in simplified traditional Chinese, same as China in simplified traditional Chinese, and also those that were self-identified TLDs in the CC TLD's fast track process and also the 2012 new UTLD program. And if I read, I think there's an ICANN board resolution in which they say these self-identified variant labels are not in any way or ICANN is not bound to delegate or allocate. It's just kind of an FYI thing, not something that is built into the contract. So as far as what we're saying, self-identified TLDs are the roots on AGR prevails. If there is a objection as to a self-identified TLD or variant label, self-identified variant label that is does not conform to the LGR procedure, then the applicant of that self-identified stream will need to go through the LGR procedure in order to get it validated, I mean, if that's the case. I think that's consistent with what we're talking about, streams that are not valid per the LGR procedure or scripts that are not supported with the LGR. The only way for a stream to be validated is that it follows the LGR procedure, which means generation panel has to look at that particular stream or a script, get it, build a proposal, get it reviewed by the IP, approved, and integrated if that's the case. So I want to pause here a little bit and see if any comments, reactions. I have Sarmat, please go ahead.
Okay, so a question in the case of 3.1. I'm not able to understand, are we making a recommendation here or just noting that case? And if in case we are making a recommendation, I guess I just wanted to ask, what are we suggesting we do in the case of 3.1?
Thank you, Sarma. Yeah, that's a good question. again, right, we talk about the delegated TLDs, we talk about this case that it was within the scope of this group. Now, from a technical standpoint, the rules on NGR will just spit out what TLD is validated, not validated, and the calculation of variance. Now, we know that there are certain TLDs that it's very likely that the next version of the Roots on LGR, for example, for the Hang script, will confirm or revalidate that the China strings, Chunghua, both in simplified and traditional Chinese, will be variants of each other. Now, I think it is fair to say that it's up to ICANN organization on the board or the CCNSO to establish a policy what to do with those. But as far as the roots on LGR, the roots on LGR will determine that these two variants these two labels are going to be variants of each other. I don't know what else we can say about it. I mean, just staying within our scope. So I guess what I'm saying, Sarma, is this is up to policy to decide. We're just noting the case, so they are aware of this situation.
I'm just thinking sort of further down the road. So assuming at some point CCNSO does come up with a policy to do variant TLDs, I'm just thinking how this will be resolved. Suppose there is a third TLD which is requested, just an assumption here, of course, which is a variant TLD. But it seems like it would be a variant of one of the strings. It may also be the variant of the other string, but the two base strings are potentially not really defined as real variants. So at some point there needs to be a correction which needs to be made, perhaps through policy, to align the current DCN with the root zone LGR, bring the whole thing into the standard variant framework so that IDN variant TLD management mechanisms can apply and all these other policies which eventually may come through around the IDM variant TLDs can start applying to these labels as well. So as I said, there's some adjustment needs to be made, but I understand also that adjustment at this time may be too soon to call for because we don't really have a Chinese LGR which is integrated and we don't really have an IDM TLD policy for CCs. So it may actually be too soon. Maybe perhaps leaving it as a note without a recommendation may still work. Just thinking out loud. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. Yeah, well, thinking about what we're trying to say here, right? And maybe we can go. I feel that this item 3.1 about the synchronized TLDs, They belong. I mean, what you just described, I mean, it feels to me, or I believe it belongs to the subsequent work that it has to be initiated based on the IDN TLD variant management framework.
So could we, for example, say that IDN CC TLD policy should take a look at this? This as a note, not a recommendation.
Yep, I think that's a fair note to put.
Mariana, I'm sorry to sort of put you on the spot here, but since you come from the CC community, you have experience from there as well, and now I guess Dr. Data as well. Do you think it's a reasonable note to put in here, considering we are only, I guess, looking from a technical perspective, but it does raise a technical issue, I guess?
Yeah, I completely agree with this proposal. I don't think that we should discuss such issues here. But it is good to mention it, and probably it will be resolved during some future work on it. I agree with Dennis' proposals. Dennis' proposal.
Yeah, thank you. Actually,
thank
Sarma.
You.
So I don't want to take it
credit. Ajay Data here for record. I think we all agree on the proposal, but Marina, would you do you think that we need to, is it required to discuss this back into the council or somewhere, because it might come in future, or is it not required at this stage? We can take it up at this stage.
The line was so noisy, so I couldn't catch properly the question.
So, Mirjana, yeah, AJ was saying if it's worth raising this up at the CCNSO Council, or maybe it's too early.
Think it's too early at this moment. Yeah, I think it's too early at this moment. Let's finish our document and see what will be the public comments on it, and we are aware that such situation can occur, and we are just mentioning that it should, in the future this should be kept in mind and discussed. We probably
okay.
I hope I was clear. So I don't think that we should spend some more time about it.
I would agree. I would agree that after you see this report final, and also in tandem with the IDM Binance TLD management framework recommendations, it's going to be a good moment to review these existing delegations and how those can be either changed, adjusted, or something else. So okay. So thank you. Good conversation here. So we'll add a note here to direct CCNSO to be mindful of this situation moving forward, and maybe they will need to. Well, that's going to be up to them what to do with those situations. Any comments, reactions on the self-identify TLDs? And basically, here there is... unlike 3.1, we do have in 3.2, we do have a call to action that GNSO and CCNSO must consider a resolution that conforms to the LGR procedure, which means that any self-identified Binance TLD moving forward, those existing applications need to conform, and somehow they need to be adjusted. Sarma, I see your hand up. Yes. Go ahead, Sarma, please.
Thanks. So I think I'd probably suggest that we make it more in line with 3.1. What I was actually thinking was that here as well, we say that, we've got two cases here. But they're in the same kind of context that we actually have a current practice which is perhaps not agreeing with the root zone LGR calculation. In one case where they are variants but they're not declared as variants, In the other case, there are not potentially variants, but they declared as variants. And in I think in both cases, what we need to do is call on to GNSO and CCNSO to address that gap with Root Zone SGR through whatever policy discussion they are having subsequently, because we can identify the gap, but we cannot fix the gap. The gap, since it's been created through a policy decision, it would need to be sort of fixed through a follow-up policy work. So I think to me, both even though 3.1 and 3.2 are slightly different, they're, I guess, also same in some ways. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. So if I think I understood what you were saying is right. 3.1, 3.2 is to let's use those bullets to point the issues or the situations, and then there is a general recommendation or call to action for the whole section 3, which is
Yes, I think what you're suggesting seems in perhaps is what I was also thinking, that we have two cases where the current ELDs or current ETLD applications may not conform with the rules on SGR calculations, and if that's the case, then GNSO and CCNSO must do some follow-up redressal of this situation. How they do that, of course, is a policy matter, and we leave that to them as long as the technical alignment is done.
Thank you, Sarma. All right. So, yeah, I like that. I like it. All right. So I lost my Adobe screen, so please let me know if somebody is raising a hand. Oh, no. It came back.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to
wanted
to support the last discussion between you and Sarma. That will be the right direction to solve this problem with TLDs, which falls in these two categories, let's say, like this. We are aware of them, and we are pointing to CCNSO or GNSO to look at it and to solve all those things somehow through the policy. Yeah, I just wanted to support what you have discussed. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mirjana. Appreciate it. All right, so moving on, number four. I think basically the same thing. Number five. So number five. So number five is the situation where the script is not supported by the LGR. And last time we discussed this point, we kind of gravitated towards three options, and we were, of course, the principle is we stay with the LGR procedure, and that implies or logically we conclude that if we want to be consistent with the LGR procedure, script that is not supported, then it has to find its way to the roots on LGR, and that means that a generation panel has to be formed, seated, they have to create their proposal, go to the integration panel, and then gets integrated into the roots on LGR if approved. So that's more likely option A. offline, there were some, I think, desire to have more conversations. So one of the issues is, so if we are speaking with, if we are in the context, so picture this scenario. There is a window to apply for a new round of top-level domain names, and one label is not supported. One applied for TLD, the script is not supported, and then what happens, right? So here we say, okay, this script is not supported by the LGRs, therefore we cannot process it. So what are the options for this applicant? The option A says that we hold the or ICANN organization holds the application until the relevant script is integrated into the Rootson LGR, right? That is consistent with the LGR procedure because we're not allowing for an alternate process in which really invalidates the whole process to create the LGR. But questions arise as to, okay, so for how long we can hold the application, right? I think the application windows are open in a limited fashion, and the process can just be open, or they can hold an application in standby or some kind of in holding party for a fixed amount of time, not just endless. I mean, and those that are familiar with the work of generation panels, it can take years to come up with a proposal that it's for ready for integration. So those are the questions that came up offline. If those are the questions, I mean, they are valid questions. Do we have any say here, or we just, that's up for policy to decide what to do? We are giving a recommendation that is in line with the LGR procedure, in line with the rules on LGR, but policy will have to decide what to do with such cases. Again, that's the whole one. Then for option B is to reject the application altogether, right? If the script is not supported, then you cannot participate in the application window. And option C, also we talk about it, and which is to use a manual inspection as a sort of a DNS string review, which happened in the past.
Ajay Gaka here for record, Dennis.
Okay, Ajay. I have Sarma first and then you.
I can go afterwards. No problem. Go ahead, Ajay.
Okay. Ajay, please go ahead.
Okay. I want to take a step back here. And when the application is going to be filed online and people are going to submit their application online, can we not recommend ICANN not to give that skip option at all into while filing an application, so that the person whom that skip we do not support cannot file an application itself and reject it before the application is submitted? Thank you.
Thank you. As you said, the recommendation, right, it's to have some kind of a tool with a thing that's the leading thought, right, that the Rootson LGR is going to be available for the TLD applicant to input the string so that they can determine the validity and also the variance with that. And, right, if this, well, either the script is not supported or it's invalid label, which is going to be invalid label or not valid to process. I don't know how the Rootson LGR will characterize that rejection, but basically it's going to be out and the applicant will not be able to move forward. So that's one room, which basically is option B, AJ. Is that correct?
No, Daniel. Option A, when let us say I'm going to online and trying to type my string and select an option from a drop-down. This is a script I'm selecting, and I don't see my script there. Then I don't file my application. I want to just make it very simple. No need of tool of anything else. I just simply do not find my script there in my drop-down, and before I even put my string there. And even if I put my string, wrong string there, it is obviously a wrong application, and that deserves to be detected.
Got it. All right. Yeah. So you're not even allowed to apply because the script is not supported, basically what you're saying.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you. Sarmat, please go ahead.
Thank you. So, yes, I think what Dr. Data is saying is very close to option B, maybe a slightly different coloring of it. But I think the comment I wanted to make was that that I think what Dr. Data is actually saying is probably not going to be, Edmund's not here, Dusan's not here, but I think what we've heard from them before, and I don't want to speak for them, but I think my understanding is that they would want to keep the applicant empowered to make their case rather than to not be able to participate. So in that case, that's why I guess we say that option B or rejecting something outright or not allowing them to apply is not like the best option, or we've actually noted in our document it's the least recommended. And maybe I think these reasons which Edmund and Dusan actually have been saying, we should probably put them in the document to say why we think it is the least recommended option. For the readers to be clearer, I think. But coming back to option A, I think I'd actually raise that this has some practical limitations, and maybe it is up to the policy to really resolve those limitations. But I think what I would probably suggest is that we note at least in this document that there are some practical considerations which policy should look at. They may actually not be able to see or visualize that implication right away. And since we do know that there is actually a practical consideration here, it may actually be useful to note it here as sort of the other side of the coin to see how they can eventually want to balance it. I also want to note something in the context of option B. I think option B is not the best option, least recommended, also because I think in SAC 60, SAC has actually noted that we need to provide some kind of mechanism for the applicant to be able to challenge a decision, apparently root zone LGR, if especially we go with option B, does not provide any recourse to an applicant. And having option A or option C as possible policy alternatives for policy to consider does provide some recourse to the applicants. So it's, I'm saying just not Edmund and Dusan who actually been advocating for it, but there is actually also a similar recommendation in SAC, SAC 60 document on providing recourse. And I think we should probably, leading to the discussions between option A, B, and C, also refer to that particular recommendation in the SAC document to support why we consider that this is, for example, a least recommended option. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarman. Good points. Yeah, I took notes of all that. We can adjust that. Any other comments on this point? All right.
I just want to say a small point here.
Yes, AJ, go ahead.
I think when I think it again and make it more open as we always try to do, of course, the other route can always be followed and allow people to apply. But I think one thing which we are not discussing here and considering here is the commercial implication on the people who are not aware that their applications are likely to be indefinitely on hold or not being processed, and it might take years and so much, and there will not be any mechanism to have another recourse. So this is also, and this amount is large, amount is not small for these applications. So probably if we see the isolation without the commercial impact and the business plan of the company is something different, but if we see that angle, then it might be completely different. So probably just food for thought if we need to discuss something around and more can not around.
Thank you, Ajay. But I see that situation not for this group to discuss. It's more relevant on the, if it's for GTLDs, in the, that would be a topic for the current subsequent procedures, PDP, because they are basically coming up with a process for the next round or application window. So that was something that they need to take into account. And also the CCNSO, fast IDN, CCTLD fast track process also, something that they will have to incorporate in their policies. Would you agree or did I?
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I was just thinking that do you want to make a note for them or we don't fire? That's what my point was.
Yeah, well, I think what we need to do, it's within our charter, is to note the situation, note the practical realities. I mean, the issues and the practical realities, but it is up to them to decide how to proceed. So I think once our report is ready, we need to call the attention of this policy development process so they are aware of the situation. They can incorporate our findings or our discussions into their own decision-making and policy-making processes.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. Section number six. Let's move on. Section number six is about the non-normative information and how this information may be valuable for other resources. Example, we talk about the strain similarity review. Some generation panels have collected an inventory of what they call confusable characters, which might be useful for strain similarity review panels to come up with visual similarity labels. So what we talk about is to have an icon, try to create a repository so that it's, this information is easy to find. All right. Number seven. So single character TLDs. I think there's an outstanding item here. It's whether our position towards SAC 052. And the context is that early on we decided that single character TLDs was in the scope of our recommendations. But just on the technical side, all right, as we all know, I mean, single character TLD, it will be processed by the Ruson LGR as any other label within the limits of a DNS label. So it really up to policy to decide what type of single characters are allowable for a top-level domain name. And so from a technical standpoint, the only item that we could call out for was the ESAX report CETO 52. And I think here we have not defined our what it's pending is how do we characterize our support towards the ESAX report. I mean, here I think there is a placeholder of the study group encourages to review ESAX CETO 52. Do we characterize as strongly support? Do we agree? I think there's an outstanding item here for us to make it final. So can I hear any reactions here? I have Sarmat first online. Please, Sarmat, go ahead.
Thank you. So in that document, one thing ESAG discusses is that if, for example, single characters are allowed for ideographic scripts like Chinese Han, somebody should really do a review of the repertoire and do a shortlist of characters which are permissible as second of as single character TLDs. SX suggests that list may actually be shorter or shorter than the list which has been generally allowed for domain names. So, you know, if there are 16,000 characters in Han, those which should be allowed in single character TLDs, you know, maybe not 16,000, but a much smaller list. And they argue that there is no context, and therefore there is a larger possibility of confusability in shorter domain names. I guess the matter becomes relevant in the context of who's going to do that work. So, for example, it's first the policy which will decide whether that is a viable solution, what ESAC is proposing, and then say that, you know, if they agree with ESAC, they'll say that somebody needs to develop a shortlist. If that is the case, is it going to be a separate group? Is it just going to be the same GP? Is that not relevant for us? I think that's a question we may want to consider. It may actually be just not relevant to us, and like when the time comes, the policy will be done and the call will be made, and maybe the same GP or maybe a different set of people will get together and make that shortlist. Maybe the policy will decide that we don't need a shortlist and the same list of repertoire is sufficient, and the string similarity review will take care of any issues. So we don't really know what will happen. In that case, of course, that work becomes not relevant for our discussion. I'm just raising the context for all of you to sort of know at least what are the possibilities. Based on that, I guess we can maybe have a short discussion and decide whether this remains relevant for us or it's not relevant for us at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. Yes, it's a tricky area. I think we recognized early on that this might be in the policy realm, but some of us felt that some technical aspects can be highlighted so that the information specifically to SAC 052 is not lost and people people is reminded of those recommendations, if you will. So I think we'll give some time for the rest of us to think again whether this is belongs to here, because if I'm not mistaken, if my recollection works well, my memory works well, this was called out in the subsequent procedures, work track 4, which is IDNs. I mean, to whatever it's worth, this is not going to be the only place that it's been discussed. So it's already talked about in the subsequent procedures. So what we say here, basically, we need to make our minds and see if it belongs here or not. Sarmat, is that a new hand?
Yes, it is. Yes, I just wanted to confirm that currently in subsequent procedures, they are saying that ideographic strips like HAN should be possible to have single character TLDs. I think that's what I recall from the current discussions. They do point out to, I think, SAC's work in this context. Not sure whether they go into the technical details of it. But I guess at some point, somebody would need to go into the technical details and sort that out. I guess the main question is that do we need to do a pre-determined shortlist, or we use the existing LGR and let the similarity review process actually take care of things. But I think that level of detail is not discussed in the subsequent procedure at this time. Thank you.
Got it. Thank you, Sarma. Okay, any other comments or observations on single character TLDs? None? Okay. So I think we have time to look at one more item here, number 8. So number 8, this was chopped quite a bit, and I'll explain why. So number 8, we talk about the changes of the Rootsong LGR and how changes on next versions of the Rootsong LGR might affect existing TLDs. And we went through the exercise of the pinpointing all these changes, whether there's a change in code point, change in variant relationships and whatnot. But after reading, I felt it was too prescriptive, and we can summarize all of these sections 8.1 through 8.5 to just saying that generation panels and the integration panel, of course, need to be mindful that subsequent versions of the Rootsong LGR need to be backward compatible with existing TLDs. And with that, which really means is that if you come up with, if a generation panel comes up with a revision of the LGR proposal for LayerScript, they have to make sure that existing TLDs, that is delegated TLDs, need to remain valid TLDs. Otherwise, unless there is a very good reason to invalidate an existing TLD, that it may be possible, but it has to be very, very, they have to be very careful as to doing that. So basically 8.1 through 8.5, they go away and everything can be just summarized as to generation panels to be, they have to make the Rootsong LGR backward compatible with existing TLDs. I think that still maintains the spirit and the essence of this recommendation. Any reactions?
Does this conflict with 3.1 and 3.2?
Yeah, it's, yep, basically that's, well, 3.1, the synchronized DLD, that would be an exception, right? The LGR procedure has to override somehow those synchronized DLDs. I mean, the relationship, they have to be adjusted. I think we would need to make a carve out or something else. Or what would you? Yes, go ahead, Sarma.
Right. So, yeah, I guess the reason I was saying it conflicts with that is because currently we are going to have a Chinese LGR which will come up, and it will say that those two labels are variants, whereas they are not considered variants in the current TLD space. So if it has to be backward compatible with all the existing TLDs, then it should not declare those characters as variants so that it is compatible. I guess that's why I'm saying it's in a way conflicting for that particular example. And as you're saying, we may actually then, if we do this, we may actually should have a caveat for that particular case, I guess, of synchronized TLDs, because that would perhaps then remove that little bit of issue which this may, conflict this may create. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarma. Yeah, I think in that case, that's, if at all possible, backward compatible. I think that's the caveat that we want for those synchronized TLDs. Because I think moving forward, that's going to be the case. For 3.2, though, the self-identified TLDs, since they are technically not TLDs, not even allocated TLDs, then I think there is no exception for those. Am I right, or? Go ahead, Salman.
So, yes, I agree with you. I think it may actually be useful to point out both these things in relation to 8. So maybe possibly have a pointer from 8 to 3.1 and 3.2, or a pointer from 3.1 and 3.2 to 8, whichever is better. I think it may still be useful to have that discussion across those two recommendations.
Thank you, Sarma. Yes, we need to do that. All right. So it's 1 minute to the top of the hour, so we'll stop here. I think this is coming together nicely. So I will revise this based on this input, and we'll continue next week with the rest of the document. In the meantime, please continue reviewing offline and input your comments directly into the document, and I'll review it, and then we can discuss on next meeting. Before we go, I feel that I want to change the timing so that our friends in Asia, it's a better time for them to join. So I would say I'm going to suggest let's do a doodle poll for next Monday, Sarma, if we could. Can we include two hours early? And
sure.
The latest would be this time, but let's include two hours earlier and see where do we land.
So I'll do a doodle poll and call for comments till maybe Thursday, and then finalize on Friday. Would that work?
Yep. Yes. Yes, please. Yeah. Worst case scenario, we keep this up with time, but if the majority can join, let's say 1 hour earlier, 2 hours earlier, let's do that so that we can increase our coverage.
Sure.
Thank you, Sarman. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining. We'll talk, speak soon.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.